What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The following presentation is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, home to a vast array of sports and entertainment podcasts, including Two and a Half Wrestlers, Neckbreaker, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Inconclusive Breakdown, Midnight Jury, After Midnight, Apex Radio, and The Shining Wizards. Plus exclusive shows Thursday Night Destruction and Kevin Gill's King of Indies podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audio Boom, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
And this man, the Intercontinental Champion of the World, Greg the Hammer Valentine, defends his belt against the Junkyard Dog here in Boston.
You know, I really don't have to defend it against Junkyard Dog. I'm just giving him one more chance. One more measly chance because he insulted me in Madison Square Garden. In WrestleMania, he insulted me by slapping my rock and roll man, my manager, Jimmy Hart. I don't take that lightly. You understand, Junkyard Dog? You embarrassed me for the last time. WrestleMania is over. I survived it. Survived Tito Santana and yourselves' little scheme to set me up in a garden, and it didn't work. And now, Boston Garden, here it is. This is the bait. As far as I'm concerned, it's the bait, dog, to get you, you nasty individual, nasty black person into the ring so I can slap you around one more time because I didn't finish what I started, you understand? I didn't finish what I started. You don't know who I am yet. You don't know who I am yet. The master of the figure four leg lock. And you're going to find out. Going to find out real soon. You're going to taste it. You understand? You understand? I'm going to slap you around, boy. I'm going to slap you down, silly. I'm going to slap you down so you go back to the junkyard, or you go back to shining shoes, or you go back to sweeping the floors, or whatever you did. You're not going to wrestle me no more.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents
the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast
with your hosts,
the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
Yes! Goddamn right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and everyone in between, you'll recognize symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. From the current to the way back, goddamn it, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Blue Collar Scholar, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Ray, and I am joined by...
your baby boy, the Mega Powers.
Goddamn right. We're live, David.
We're live.
Rant Entertainment Media, rantemradio.com. As always, a Shining Wizards Network production. Back in the fold, your boys, the Wednesday Night Delights. We are in effect. David, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, man. I literally came in under the wire. I called in, you know, while you had your Greg Valentine promo going on. Computer just booted up. Like, I don't know if you know about, like, how my Wednesdays go, but they're, like, extremely hectic once I get out of work. Because I hit the gym with Zach over at the Underground Strength Gym, rushing to get home around, like, 8:30, try to eat a dinner, and do the show. So, like, I have, like, no time to spare. You know, there's a lot of people out there. I want to, you know, add this. They try to... a lot of people out there who live a either-or lifestyle. Either I can have this or I can have that. I do my best to have a both-and lifestyle, where I get to enjoy both and everything that I want. And you know what? I get to do that all day, every day.
Well, you wouldn't be the Mega Powers if you weren't. You see, that's the whole that's the whole beauty of the dynamic that you bring to this whole scheme of things, that the brand that I'm trying to build, being the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. I don't know. I, too, live a hectic life, as you know. I work probably almost between transportation and getting to and work and the actual job. It's like almost 70 hours a week. My only days off are the weekends, which is mostly the family stuff, and today. But my days off consist of cleaning my underwear and prepping the night's meal, getting Junior from school, and you know, any show prep I had to do, or you know, nonsense shit. You know, but like, it's not as hectic as you rushing home. But back in the day, I used to have to because I worked, and I would leave at 6, be home, and it takes me 2 hours to get home.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's a good thing that we do this once a week, because then you have that time to prep, and it ain't like you're doing any production work, so all you got to do is just get home and be on, you know?
Oh, my God. Even sometimes watching some of these events, like the one we were doing tonight, that was like a multiple night thing. Like, I couldn't do it in just one night.
Yeah, it took me about
I had to break it up.
Well, yeah, it took me like 3 days, because the thing is 3 hours long, and also it's like 13 matches, too. We'll get into that tonight. We have a kick-ass throwback for you guys tonight.
Yeah.
Let's say hello to everybody in the chat room. I see Ted Turner in there again. Wow, billionaire Ted making his moves on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Hey, man, he's got to keep in touch with wrestling somehow.
I got Tank in there.
Wrestling.
Yeah, Tank's in there. Josh from Baltimore's in there. Big Tone checking in. Big Tone, what's up, my friend? And everybody else is...
And the rest. Like the original Gilligan's Island theme.
All right, so let's get into some programming notes. Payback, pay-per-view, pre-show starts this Sunday at 7 p.m. I don't think I'll be making it. I just found out a good friend of mine had a death in the family.
So oh,
I'm going to be attending his wake, and then my wife has something planned. So I may jump on the post-show if these animals go home on a decent hour. Now, next week, here's what's going down next week. A few months ago, Dave and I did the whole NXT live pre-show, then the throwback, post-show, and all that nonsense. Same concept, except Dave won't be on next week.
No.
So I will be getting either a co-host or riding solo. I reached out to a couple of suitors. And either way, check in with Dave, check in with the Turnbuckle Throwbacks and Rant EM Radio, 7 o'clock, I think.
Takeover is next week?
Wow. Yeah, I believe it's next week, right? That's what Double A said.
You know, what is it? This week is actually the NXT show. This is along with the NXT in Philadelphia, and I think tonight is actually New Japan with Ring of Honor in Philadelphia.
Shout out to our boy Danny from Getting the Ring. Danny is there live. He posted some pictures before with Okada and and Nakamura. And
sent me a message, but I wasn't able to get back to him. Crazy day.
And he also took a couple pictures with the ring announcer, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly.
And nobody cares about that guy.
But Danny's a unofficial correspondent tonight from War of the Worlds in Philadelphia. Tomorrow, are they in? No, it's Friday that they're going to be in Canada, right?
Yeah.
That's going to be the pay-per-view this week.
The Canada one, I think, is Global Wars.
Global Wars, right. That'll be from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. I guess we'll probably talk about that next week. We'll have all the results for you probably up on the Throwbacks page. Check that out on the Foch book.
I'm surprised we don't have anybody, an NXT correspondent for the Philadelphia thing. But I know it's like, I think it was actually this Monday, right?
I'm not sure, dude.
Sometime this week. I know it's not clashing with Ring of Honor, but it is like it's during the same week.
Yeah. Speaking of Philadelphia, our thoughts and prayers go out to anybody traveling from DC to New York that got that train derailed last night in Philly.
Ooh.
A couple of deaths. That train was going way too fast, over 100 miles an hour. Killed several people. Bunch of people injured. Again, our thoughts and prayers. I actually know a few people who ride that train on business, but they weren't on that train, obviously, that last night, thank goodness.
But now I'm feeling extra good that, you know, sometimes when I take the train into Manhattan, it's like really friggin' slow, and should be grateful that it is going slow.
Yeah, well, you know what? They've been dropping the ball lately, Amtrak, the last year or two. They've been crashing a lot and derailing shit and, you know. But either way, I mean, it's tragic. Even when it crashes and nothing happens, it's still tragic. You know, nothing, you're accountable. A lot of people are accountable when these things go down. So, you know, you feel bad either way. So hopefully nobody, people who were injured are not that injured, and people who lost loved ones are thoughts and prayers. So,
yeah.
All right. So, we have, like I mentioned at the top of the show, we have a kick-ass throwback for you tonight. And I did Super Clash 3 a while ago. We didn't do Super Clash 1. We're doing that tonight. 85 was a good year for wrestling. We'll talk about that when we get back from the break.
Yeah.
ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Check those guys out. New Shining Wizards up from last night. They had Danny Doring on, who's now the analyst for House of Hardcore. Not House. Is it House of Hardcore, I believe?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're on the Fight Network. We don't have Fight Network on my cable system, unless you have a Roku or something like that. Maybe the Apple TV will get it. But, yeah, they debuted on TV, so good for them. And what else is going on? New Midnight Jury's coming out this week. New Inconclusive Breakdown's out this week. Go get that. Those guys are kicking some ass. Freaks and Effing Geeks on Rant, as well as the That Awful Podcast. And a new Rant. Rant was good last night, by the way. So check all those shows out. And, of course, now, I just got the email right before you texted me. Starting tomorrow, you can listen to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks podcast, not live, on TuneIn Radio.
Oh.
The same place where you get Rant on your tablets and smartphones live every week with us if you listen through TuneIn. Now you can listen to our podcast on TuneIn Radio. So shout out to Shannon and the tech crew over there getting on with that. So that's another outlet for the throwbacks. So thank you very much for everybody who put that together for me. And we're moving right along. You want to get into some news and notes? I want to start off with the bogus story of Bob Backlund cutting a heel promo at Vern Gagne's wake.
So that didn't happen?
No, it did not happen. People confirmed it did not happen.
He didn't give anybody the chicken wing, right?
No, he did not give anybody the chicken wing. He didn't tilt the coffin over. He didn't break. He didn't hit Jonathan Taylor Thomas with a chessboard. None of that happened. Thank goodness.
Nobody threw in the towel to make him stop or anything.
No. None of that nonsense. And if I seem a little bit distracted, I apologize. My favorite hockey team is involved in another game 7 to go into another round of the playoffs. Same, it's like deja vu. 365 days ago, almost, Dave and I were doing a show, and the Rangers again were in a game 7 situation. So my blood pressure's through the roof. So if I seem a little bit distracted, I apologize, but I will get through the show because I want to watch hockey. But, you know, duty calls. Let's see what else I have going on here. I have nothing else in terms of that kind of news. I do want to. I know Global Force, as of last week, I was on my way to the H2O show. They announced the beginnings of their roster. And I got to tell you, it's fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah. I saw a bit of that mentioned throughout the week.
I just want to put a disclaimer up about this first. I mean, as soon as the first couple of names dropped, the hate that was on social media.
Of course.
But I don't understand. Like, this is top-notch, like, indie talent. Like, I don't understand. I mean, Jarrett's actually doing the right thing. No TV deal. He's getting, like, these primo clubs. You know, I don't understand. Like,
it's better than what he had with TNA as well.
Well, I mean, he started TNA kind of the same way, man. It was like, and it was doing really well. You know, TNA's first run was great, and I said this last night to Double A and the boys. I thought TNA's first year or two, that those weekly pay-per-views, were fantastic, and you and I discussed that already.
Yeah.
Okay. But you got to know, man. Like, first of all, they tabbed Chael Sonnen as their analyst. Gold MMA star Chael Sonnen, very outspoken cat. Hold on 1 second. We're getting a break in over here. Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Good evening. Hello, Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Good evening.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Ladies and gentlemen, our man on the street, the maniac himself, Mr. Matt Squires. How are you, sir?
It's Matt.
Good. How's my new tag team partner?
We're good, man. Oh, I didn't tell Dave yet, but they did a draft last night on the fantasy draft.
Poor developmental Dave.
Yeah,
in
Dave,
NXT.
Dave got drafted. I was saving this for the break, but Dave got drafted to NXT, and you and I got drafted to SmackDown.
That's right.
So,
I'm more of an NXT guy anyway.
Isn't that what I said last night, Matt?
Yes.
That's exactly what I said. I said Dave is perfect for NXT. I actually wanted you to go to Shotgun Saturday night, but that didn't happen.
But, wait, was Shotgun Saturday night a part of the deal?
Probably. Knowing Double A, he probably had it in a hat somewhere. I'm not putting that past him, not at all.
In his Tom Landry-esque hat?
Pretty much, that fedora. Yeah, man. That's dope.
So what's going on, guys? Hey, I'm at the Windy Peppercorn Community Pool tonight. We're going to...
Wait, the where?
Windy Peppercorn.
My God.
You don't know who Windy Peppercorn is?
I do.
Okay, we're at her community pool here for a night swim. I've got my brand new Ahmed Johnson denim cutoff shorts, and we're looking pretty hot over here. We're getting the summer starter kit going out here at the pool for the little night swim. So all kids 7 and under, we got you a nice little Mike Adamley coloring book. We're going to give you that. And then we're giving Nick Patrick hair and mustache wax. There ain't nothing worse than getting out of the pool and having your hair all messed up. So we got the Nick Patrick hair and mustache wax that we're giving out. And then also we're giving out free Jose Oliverio salsa out to everyone. So come on out and get some of that. We had that left over from Cinco de Mayo. So it's delicious salsa. And then we don't want to make light of the dead, but we want to celebrate the dead at Turnbuckle Throwback. So for everyone that's coming out, we are giving free Joey Morell car air fresheners. And they're gonna come in 2 cents. It's 2 count tropical, and then we're giving the Dave Mega Powers Weasel Winter Fresh. So come on out, get your air freshener, and check it on out here. Night swim at the Windy Peppercorn Community Pool.
The road show is better than ever. Starting the summer off. We're not even in summer yet, and we're in summer mode already.
Woo! It's hot, and we're already celebrating. So come on out, guys. This salsa is delicious.
Jose Lothario salsa. You know I'm a sucker for Southwestern food too, gentlemen.
Oh, you're gonna love this.
Oh, you guys are teasing the hell out of me tonight.
All right, guys, we'll catch you next week.
Thanks, Matty.
Later.
All right,
Matt, that little pervert.
Yeah. Well, shout out to Matt Squires. Matt's been hanging and banging with Durant, and he's our resident road report. Makes Lee Marshall look like, a newscaster from Omaha, you know?
Yeah.
Holding it down.
The Jose Lothario salsa is actually made in New York City.
Yeah. Shout out to Wendy in the Sandlot. anyway, where the hell was I? Global Force Wrestling. That's right, Mega Powers. So, like, I'm on my way to this hardcore show, and I'm like, I'm amped, you know? And you know now my love for H2O is. I'm on the go. I got the social media going. And, like, even Mike from the Midnight Jury, he's, like, tweeting, and he's on Facebook, and we're all talking. Everybody's chatting it up. Dude, the hate was ridiculous. So they tabbed Chael Sonnen. Sonnen's a huge mark, by the way. He loves pro wrestling. Almost got involved. CM Punk tried getting him involved a couple of years ago. Just did not pan out for anybody. So, I mean, now he's the guy. And I like this move because Chael, like I said, a big fan of pro wrestling. He's an MMA guy. And don't be surprised if he gets his hands dirty eventually after they start training him. But here's some of the people they need. First of all, they get the Killer Elite Squad, the Davey Boy Smith and Lance Archer.
Yeah.
They got Gallows and Anderson from the Bullet Club. They got Lady Tapa. They got Moose from Ring of Honor. They got Chuck Taylor. They got PJ Black. Who was he? PJ Black? What the hell was his name?
Justin Gabriel.
That's right. Couple of AAA guys from Mexico. They tabbed. What the hell is his name? I forgot his name already. But Brodus Clay's in there. Tyrus. I mean, a bunch of people, man. Chris Masterson. They're using his real name, but Chris Masterson. I can remember his name. But they, dude, it's pretty stacked. And they're getting this Grand Slam tour where they're playing the baseball fields like they did with TNA a couple of years ago and Ring of Honor last year. They're doing that. They got a spot in the Orleans Arena in Vegas for July 24th. They even work on a TV deal, and they have not even fucking had a match yet, and they got to already work on a TV deal.
Wow.
So, you know, they're going to have Texas and Tennessee, Florida, California. They're going on this minor league baseball tour with the stadiums. Richmond, Virginia. You know, A.J. Pruszynski, who's now he's catching for the Atlanta Braves. He's a big wrestling fan. He's tweeting about it. I mean, it's getting some buzz, man. And I'm happy. It's just more wrestling. And I said to the guys last night, I'm like, you know, why don't you give it a shot and actually watch it before you dog it? You know what I'm saying?
Well, see, you know, I'm hoping that that our buddy Slapnuts has learned from his mistakes of TNA.
Well, that's another thing that was brought up last night, and I quickly, again, just played devil's advocate, and I said, you know what? Jarrett didn't make a lot of bonehead moves until he started trying to get more money for the company, like bringing in Dixie, bringing in Panda, then bringing in Bischoff and Hogan. That he shit the bed with that.
Yeah.
All right, okay, so we're agreement with that. Okay. Then, on top of that, you know, it's in his blood, man. His dad was a pretty solid promoter.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you can't knock that hustle. So, again, let's watch it. Let's form an opinion after the fact, you know?
And listen, you know, not everybody's going to be a Vince McMahon. And even if they were a Vince McMahon, they would still shit on him as well.
Let's remember that there's no competition no more. We discussed this months ago, probably several times.
It's literally just going to a show. That's really it. You know, TNA, you know, isn't competition for Ring of Honor. You know, Ring of Honor isn't really competition for PWS. A lot of these groups, they're you know, people are going to go to the shows anyway. You want to see these wrestlers, just go to the show, and that's what it really comes down to.
Yeah.
Not everything is going to be, you know, as perfect as we want it to be, and that's just kind of how life works in general. And, you know, if you want to check something out, check it out. If not, you know, press on. You know, there's so much wrestling now. It feels like, you know, it's back in the 80s, but the only difference is, like, it doesn't have that magic to it anymore. But, you know, does that really stop people from enjoying wrestling? No.
Yeah, Cliff Compton.
Still watch it.
Yeah, Cliff Compton got signed. We know how we feel about Cliff Compton, and which means he's pals with Cabana. Maybe they'll convince Cole Cabana to come in, too. I'd like to see him on TV every week, too, and not just on PWS when it comes to, you know, because he's always on TV when he comes to PWS. So, but speaking of PWS, they got the Heavenly Bodies, too.
Ah.
So shout out to Shining Edward Jackson and the Jackson family, the Heavenly Bodies, the Carino boys. They're going to Global Force.
Nice.
And that's our boys. They're hometown heroes. They're a fantastic tag team.
They're moving up the ranks.
They are. They wrestled for Booker T's promotion. They won the belts down there. They're PWS staples, and the manager of champions, Shining Edward Jackson, is probably beside himself right now. He's had Falaba, who's probably on his way too, hopefully. You know, and now
I know, what's it? Falaba was a champion over for Booker T's group, right?
In
Houston.
Don't hold me to that. I know the Carinos won the tag straps. I don't know if Fala won their championship down there, but I know he was down there creating some havoc during the holiday season last week.
Yeah.
So again, that just, and I'm sure Jarrett coming here to PWS a few months ago has saw some more talent. So don't be surprised if you see a Mario Bokara or you see our boy Dan Moff, or any, you know what I'm saying? Like, how cool would that be, man? Moff has been around for a minute. Imagine seeing him in Global Force.
Mm-hmm.
Mix it up with the Moose. Two big slabs of beef. I'd love to see that match.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm happy for Global Force, man. I really want it to work. As a wrestling fanatic, I really want that to work. So, and that's pretty much it. I don't have a lot of other news I can give a shit about Raw. The only thing I was worried about with Raw was that Daniel Bryan had to relinquish his IC title. This is the second time in 2 years that Dee Bry's had to give up a belt due to injury. So my question to you is, partner, do you think this is probably the end of the road almost for Daniel Bryan?
You know, never say never again, as James Bond would say.
That's right, whore.
But I don't know. I don't know, you know, all the ins and outs of, you know, what his health condition is, or part of me is kind of thinking he may be prematurely, you know, trying to get back in the ring, because after all, you know, these guys are wrestlers. They enjoy what they do and they want to get back in as soon as they can. But, you know, not everybody's going to be like a, you know, like a Triple H overcoming the quad injury and making it back in record time, you know.
Right.
You know, this is a bit different. He's got a lot of issues with his neck, and which, you know, as we saw with Perro Aguayo Jr. and Misawa, you know, that's a very sensitive part for people, and, you know, could lead to some dangerous stuff down the road. So reluctantly, I have watched some episodes of Total Divas, and you know, he is contemplating other parts of his life, you know, to dedicate to, you know, finding other kinds of work. So, you know, the mindset is there. You know, wrestling isn't the only game in town, so we'll see how things go. You know, again, never say never, but we'll see how things go.
It's just kind of sad that, you know, this is the second time they put him in a spotlight, and this is the second time he's had to give it up because of injury.
Yeah.
You know, I think, as we say around the way, I think he finally blew his wad. I feel like, I don't think he's going to come back. He was a vegan, vegetarian kind of guy. Now he realized he had to eat meat to keep his to keep his regimen going. I found that out recently.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think this holistic medicine shit, listen, I have a good friend at work. She's all about it. You know, she's all about the holistics. And you know what? To an extent, I can agree on a lot of stuff that, being in the medical field myself, a lot of stuff you take does give you some nasty long-term side effects. I get it.
Yeah.
However, modern medicine has evolved so much to the point where you can work around some of the stuff that you're taking, and how you take care of yourself and your regimens. I don't think fucking seaweed and grass antidotes are helping Daniel Bryan, you know. Well, this will heal. I'll just rub some salt on it. I'll just rub some sand on it. I'll be all right. No, I'll just eat some kale. It'll be all right.
Some salve on it.
Yeah, put some tree sap on it. It's got to be sap from, like, the Pacific Northwest or Vermont. Other than that, that tree sap's not going to work, you know. Again, I can't knock his hustle. However, I think he has to give in a little bit and, you know, go to Dr. Andrews and be like, listen, fix me.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I feel you're definitely right. You know, there's certain things that the holistic stuff works with, but, you know, modern medicine has gone above and beyond our expectations. There are a lot of people out there who, I would say probably within the last, 50 years who, you know, I don't have any particular things in mind, but, the stuff that's happened in the past 50 years that we wouldn't even imagine happening, you know, to this day, you know, artificial hearts and, you know, new limbs and, you know, God knows what else, using a pig heart to replace a man's heart or something. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Do you have any more news before I read the only very, very dead on the Facebook questions the last couple of weeks? I got one Facebook question. And the rest of the thread is our buddy Ben Roberts from Ring Wars trying to pimp his shirts. Other than that, I got one Facebook question. Do you have any news before we get into
No, break? I've been like just so busy with so many other things. Like I honestly haven't really had much time to check out any news.
All right, one of our favorite cunts over the, you know, across the pond there, Bazza. The Baz wants to know, do you feel like
those lime suckers?
That guy, that fucking cunt. I love saying that. I was telling my friend the other day on the way to the show, on the way to H2O show, the night two, by the way, was like, yeah, they use the word cunt all the time. And she looked at me like, really? I'm like, yeah, it's crazy. Like, it's insane, and I love it. So anyway, here's that cunt Baz's question. Do you feel like me at this time period through joining the WWF in 1990, the Road Warriors were at their very best at this time period, meaning 85.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like from 85 to 88 was the Road Warriors' best work.
Yeah, I think like the AWA going into NWA period was probably their best.
Yeah.
Especially if you watch some of the matches that they had over in All Japan. My God.
Yeah, we're going to...
Sometimes it feels like, I don't know, when I see the Road Warriors, NWA, and even to a degree AWA, it just seems like they train wrecked everybody. But when you watch some of the All Japan stuff, it's like that's where their competition really was.
85 was the breakout year for the Road Warriors. I mean, they were in Georgia for a little bit prior to that with the original Legion of Doom.
Where they were wearing the fucking gay guy leather chaps, YMCA gear.
The Village People gear, yep. But 85, especially right now, this particular night we're going to be talking about, they were in some high-profile feuds with Jimmy Garvin and Steve Regal. Not Lord Steven Regal, Mr. Electricity Steven Regal. And the Freebirds. I think the Freebirds put them on the map in terms of going the extra mile, you know? The Freebirds were major players at this point between Texas and Mid-South and Midwest with the AWA.
Yeah, because Freebirds really kind of blew up in 82, right?
Yeah. So, I mean...
That's where they were really, put together at WCCW.
Right, and they went to, you know, they were touring the territories, and then finally they became staples in Texas, but making stops in Mid-South and in Midwest didn't hurt them at all either, because now they bump heads with the Road Warriors, and it's great that Jimmy Garvin, and we'll talk about Jimmy Garvin and his affiliation with them, because he was a Freebird before he was a Freebird. So,
yeah.
Awesome stuff. So, I don't have anything else and no other questions, so I think we're going to take a break, play some spots, and then we have a ginormous throwback for you tonight. I am so – I know I always say every week I'm excited that, you know, we picked this one, but I'm really, really excited about this one. This is a fun thing and a very, very fun card to watch.
I especially enjoy the baseball stadium. Speaking of Global Force and all that, it's a baseball stadium show.
Yeah, Comiskey Park, baby. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We are live on rantemradio.com. We are, as always, a Shining Wizards Network production. And let's play some spots, and we'll be right the hell back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Coming this summer to rantemradio.com.
No, I want this.
The food eating challenge of the century. Mr. X, Rage the Creator, and over 200 White Castles. Who will be victorious? Who will puke their fucking guts up? You'll have to find out at Castle Slam 2015, coming this summer to rantemradio.com.
Yo, Big Phil here from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. When you're done with our show, head back on over to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. That's right, the mothership, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. We have 10 amazing shows right now for your listening pleasure. We have the Neckbreaker Podcast, the Thursday Night Destruction with Dave Destruction from Pro Wrestling Syndicate, the Midnight Jury and their sister podcast, After Midnight, the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, the Apex Radio Podcast, part of Apex Wrestling Entertainment. Of course, you have the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with myself and Dave Megapowers, Two and a Half Wrestlers, Pat Buck, Kevin Matthews, Jay Silva, and Brian Myers, the King of the Indies Podcast with the OG of PMA himself, Mr. Kevin Gill, and of course, the Shining Wizards. So what the hell are you waiting for? ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. It's entertainment here. Yo, Big Phil here from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. When you're done with our show, head on over to RantEMRadio.com. That's right, RantEMRadio, covering all your pop culture and pro wrestling needs with 10 amazing shows. How about Freaks and Effing Geeks, The Rant, Turnbuckle Throwbacks with myself and the Mega Powers, The Wrestling Call-In Show, The What Are You Reading comic book show, That Awful Podcast, The Thursday Night Delight, The Rexplex, Rant and Wrestling, and the Lex Entertainment Experience. So what are you guys waiting for? Rant Entertainment Media, RantEMRadio.com. It's the opinions you love, the history you crave. It's Rant EM Radio.
Every Friday, the 80s and 90s are back on The Midnight Jury. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio, The Jury transports you back to the days of Walkmans, VHS, arcades, and malls. Covering the best in pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror. From reviews to interviews and everything in between, we want you to get on board every Friday and travel back to the last old school generation. The Midnight Jury is a production of WLWStudios.com and a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
The following announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order.
Forget about that. You just brought up
Gary Hart will whip his ass.
Tony C just brought up Ike Turner. How awesome was Lawrence Fishburne in that movie?
Oh,
yeah.
Excellent.
I'm sorry to get off topic, but he was amazing.
Play that role. Nah. I got San Antonio. Nah. I can have you. Nah.
Ike said he only hit her once.
He beat her with a shoe.
Nah. I only hit her one time.
He said he only smacked her once.
He smacked her once, but he hit her with everything else.
I hit her with everything but the kitchen sink now, dog. But I'm saying.
Did you see that? You see that look in his eye?
Daddy is more of a man than Rage.
Ooh, wait a minute now.
Oh, yes, works.
Wait a second. This is the co-host of the Wrestling Colon Show. You call
yes, works.
That was all so right. Disrespectful.
Alright,
Steve, I can't have you.
That's
you,
why your girl's about, about to get eliminated from the Amazing Race.
You see that? I've never questioned your manhood, Rage.
Bullshit, you didn't, Ike. Surfer.
Tony.
You never ever questioned your manhood.
To help
no,
Ike.
You did it. Yo, you always do it.
How?
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order. The Wrestling Call-In Show, every Saturday evening on RantEMRadio.com.
All Star Wrestling. All Star Wrestling is sanctioned by the AWA, the American Wrestling Association. All Star Wrestling presents the top professional wrestlers from the United States, Canada, England, Germany, Australia, Mexico, Poland, Japan. The greatest professional wrestlers from throughout the world. And now to the ring for All Star Action.
That's right. We're back. All Star Wrestling.
My gosh.
You like that, huh?
Those old, very old school announcers.
Yeah.
Voiceovers.
All right. So we're going to show some love to the AWA tonight with the passing of Vern Gagne and the influence that that part of the world had on pro wrestling from the 60s to at least the early 90s.
And I remember we talked about promoters working together to put together one event on the last live episode.
Well, let's paint the picture, and it's a good segue, partner, because this is September 28th, 1985. This was a couple of months after the first initial WrestleMania, obviously. And Vern Gagne wanted to, you know, up the ante. You know, he wanted to do his own WrestleMania.
Because all his guys were on WrestleMania.
Because Hogan, Hogan and Jesse Ventura and
Mean Gene Okerlund
and Bobby Heenan, they all jumped ship.
The Giants.
Andre, they all jumped ship and went to, you know, they went to WWF. Yeah. And so,
John Studd.
So, yeah.
Chico Santana was
Ken
in the
Patera, all those guys. So, this was Super Clash 1985. The venue, like Dave mentioned before, Comiskey Park. In the south side of Chicago.
I want to throw this in here real quick. You know, Comiskey Park is a legendary, you know, wrestling venue.
Yes.
The rematch between Frank Gotch and George Hackenschmidt happened there. Yep. Big NWA World Championship title change from...
Luthez, right?
Luthez. It was Buddy Rogers defeated Pat O'Connor there.
That's right.
Which can be found on YouTube.
You found it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And Luthez had some main events over in Comiskey Park. So this is a historic wrestling venue, believe it or not.
Yeah, the building itself was almost 100 years old up until 1990. The last was the home of the Chicago White Sox. I mean, there's scandal there. The day Disco died. If you guys remember that day in history, that happened in Comiskey Park and also in Detroit. And the last baseball game to be played there before it was demolished in 91 was in September versus the Seattle Mariners.
Mm.
So this was the AWA's flagship supercar, like I mentioned. Their biggest event of the year. The show drew a paid attendance of 20,347, even though it was announced as 25,000. It was cold that night for what I was reading some of the articles. And like Dave mentioned, this was a co-promoted effort between the AWA, the NWA, World Class, and Mil Mascaris' made-up title. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Well, not totally made-up title.
It was totally made. It wasn't, at that point, it wasn't even
in... defunct... Federation.
Yeah, right. Of course, trying to compete with the popularity at this point of the WWF, the jointly promoted venture was known as Pro Wrestling USA. That was Vern's vision, Pro Wrestling USA. That was his way of getting all the promoters involved, right?
When he came down from Minnesota's Mount Sinai, he was given the vision of Super Clash 85.
Right. Shining Woods is Tony in the room. Hello, sir. Here's the funny thing, and we mentioned this before. Vern Gagne and Jim Crockett, and shout out to Mr. X. Mr. X, make sure you bring this up. I'm like, yeah. I'm just reading the chat room. You're out of your mind, Dave.
What? I always say that.
Vern Gagne and Jim Crockett disputed over the live gate for the show. Crockett claiming that $288,000 and Gagne claiming $200,000 was made due to the money dispute. Several of the NWA stars set to appear on upcoming AWA events were pulled.
Hey, I got to say, in Vern's defense, you know, that $88,000 was from T-shirt sales, so he needed to get his cut.
You fucking... I had that written down, you asshole. I was going to say that. Goddamn Vern's T-shirt sales. On the show, Mil Máscaras defended his now defunct IWA Heavyweight Championship, but the fact that the International Wrestling Association in Mexico had closed down almost 10 years prior, Mil Máscaras continued to defend his championship basically as his own personal championship.
Hey, you know, Luthez defended his version of the NWA title, calling it the International Heavyweight Championship, so it wasn't a far-fetched idea. Guys did that.
Right.
So, and plus, like, one of the things that they were boasting about the show was that almost every match was a title match. There's even another made-up...
Yes, the all-Asian six-man tag from Old Japan.
Yeah, which doesn't exist.
Jumbo Tsuruta, Giant Baba, and Tenryu. A very
funny,
young,
the Asian guys are the Asian tag team champions.
Right, a young-looking Tenryu defending as the Asian six-man tag team championship. The championship was never mentioned outside the promotion. It was just for Super Clash. And like Dave mentioned, it never indicated that the three guys had those belts in the ring or never at, you know. Mm. You know, let's see. What else do I have in my notes here? Okay. The other stuff I'll have to talk about while we're talking about the matches, all right?
Yeah.
So, I want to talk about Larry Nelson for a second.
The guy from My Dream of Genie.
No, not Major Nelson. Larry Nelson, the AWA announcer. Who?
What was the name of the character on I Dream of Genie?
Major Nelson.
Yeah, but that wasn't his first name. He had a real name.
No, I call him Larry Nelson because he was Larry Hagman.
Hmm.
Remember him? Larry Hagman? J.R. Ewing? Yeah. So I call him Larry Nelson because it's Larry Nelson from the AWA. That's the joke I have around here when we watch Antenna TV. Moving right along, Larry Nelson was absolutely dismal during this whole card. The poor guy is doing it by himself. Not only is he calling the matches, but now he's interviewing the wrestlers as they approach and leave the ring post, pre and post match.
Yeah, I was actually like incredibly impressed by that because it didn't sound like the guy, you know, stopped for breath at any point in the show, and Lord knows how long that show actually was. And I don't even know if the guy had a bottle of water, you know, at that shitty table that he was sitting at.
So he was trying to do his best Gordon Solie and call the matches by himself and did an absolute terrible job at it. I hate the shit on Larry.
Terrible job. I actually thought he did a decent job for being a one-man show.
Ted Turner saying that in the chat room that Larry had gone on record saying he used to be on coke. That night he had to be. Had to be on coke because to keep up with all, he missed spots everywhere. He miscalled the moves, and I'll take and then the main event. I'll get into what he did in the main event, which is pretty funny. But all right, so let's get into the card. Your first match of the evening was for the AWA Light Heavyweight Championship. Your champion at the time, Mr. Electricity, Steven Regal, defending a title against Brad Riggins. Now, I thought that the light heavyweight championship was 205 pounds and lighter, right?
Yeah.
All right. You know Brad Riggins.
Wait, 205 pounds? Well, I remember in WCW it was always 220.
I thought it was 205. But even still, Riggins is at least 240, 250 in this match. At least.
Yeah, for a short, stocky guy, the guy had some weight on him.
So, Steve Regal, Mr. Electricity, was a former two-time NWA Tag Team Champion, a Pacific Northwest Champion, two times with Maniac Matt Bourne. He was a two-time NWA Central States Tag Team Champion with Dewey Robinson. You guys know him better as the Missing Link.
Mm-hmm.
And he was AWA World Tag Team Champion with Jimmy Garvin, which leads me, and they had a heated feud with the Road Warriors. That's why I said the Road Warriors were hot at this time. And they beat the Road Warriors. Dude, that was one of the best feuds that year.
Yeah.
It might have won Feud of the Year. I have to go look back at those magazines. But they actually won the belts from the Road Warriors with the help of the Freebirds. They also, him and Jimmy Garvin also feud with Scott Hall. A young Scott Hall and a young Kurt Hennig. So,
And he was a great jobber in on WWF television later on.
You like taking my notes right here. He was a jobber in WWF in 85.
I always thought it was funny that a lot of the AWA guys that weren't like big names, especially in 86 and 87, like Steve Regal, Buck Zumoff, they went to WWF, but they were jobbers.
He beat Buck Zumoff for the title, by the way, the light heavyweight title. Another guy who
brings it up like 10 million times during the match.
Yeah, another guy.
He's had it for 2 years.
He's had it for
Buck
2 years.
For it.
Buck Zumoff, who weighs 270 pounds.
Yeah.
Okay. He's also the son-in-law of former world NWA world champion Wilbur Ryder, and he's now an exec at General Motors, if anybody gives a shit. He's in his early 60s.
Next time I go there to do something.
Brad Riggins was 248 pounds at this point, right? Wrestling for the light heavyweight championship, which baffles me.
He was, another Vern guy who, had a collegiate, wrestling background.
Yep.
Two-time
Division II champion for North Dakota.
Yeah, Larry Nelson goes over his wrestling resume, his non-pro wrestling resume.
Wrestled in the 76 Olympics. He placed fourth, which means he didn't win a medal. He qualified for the team in 80, but of course, we all know what happened in 80. Nobody participated.
The United States
boycotted, yeah.
Yeah.
Between the Olympics, he placed third for a bronze medal at the World Championships. And like Dave just mentioned, he goes into pro wrestling with Vern Gagne in 83. He actually stayed there till 91. Was also a jobber in WWF.
Again, another AWA jobber.
Yep. Wrestled in New Japan from 89 to 91. And he trained a shit ton of wrestlers. Some of his well-known students are Big Van Vader, JBL, Brock Lesnar.
His clients, Brock Lesnar.
The Nasty Boys, Jerry Lynn, Don Fry, former MMA star.
A New Japan star.
New Japan star as well. Mr. Minnesota, Tom Zink. Curtis Axel.
You know, you're the only guy that I ever hear call Tom Zink Mr. Minnesota.
Hey, he won the bodybuilding Mr. Minnesota title. That was his claim to fame when he got signed by WCW.
I understand that, but I'm not going to call him Mr. Minnesota after that.
I will address him as Mr. Minnesota. You don't have to. See?
Do what you feel like.
Goddamn right I will. He trained Joe Henning and Tori, not Tori Wilson, the other Tori, if you remember her. Briggins.
She was the bodybuilder chick, kind of ish, with the blonde hair, right? And she was with X-Pac or Kane.
Yep. He was also the head trainer of the short-lived Ladies Professional Wrestling Association, the LPWA. So.
Nobody like Brad Riggins to train those ladies.
And he was inducted into the Luthez Professional Hall of Fame in 2004. So let's get into the match. I just wanted to give the credentials because Larry Nelson sucked at it. That's pretty much it.
Well, this match, he repeated quite a bit of the same information over and over again.
Yeah, I kind of felt bad for him, but it got really fucking, like, the more I watched it, the more I was like, oh, this is terrible. This is tough.
Hey, I give the man credit. He did that long-ass event.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Well, it helps you call AWA events, so.
Apparently.
Can't be all that bad.
Apparently. All right, so the match goes about 8.5 minutes. It wasn't that bad. A lot of chain wrestling. Steve Regal was a decent wrestler. I think he goes under the radar because by the time he got to the E, he was an enhancement talent, so he didn't give.
And if you're not, you could be Mr. Electricity, but if you're not Mr. Charisma or Captain Charisma for that matter, you definitely are going to go under the radar. And a lot of these AWA guys, not to say that they were, lacking in talent or charisma completely. But, a lot of guys that were coming to WWF, they were either the complete package or as close to the complete package as possible. And a dude that looks like Mr. Electricity or Brad Riggins, they weren't really going to get a big shot in WWF.
No. But both guys can wrestle, and this was an entertaining match.
Yeah. They weren't marketable. That's the word.
I got what you meant.
Yeah.
Regal retains at 8:15 with interference from you know who, Jimmy Garvin.
All that Olympic training and all that NCAA division whatever championships could not overestimate overpower Steve Regal and the force that we know as distracting the referee.
Right. Exactly, as Reverend Slick would say.
Yeah.
Your second match of the evening was for the AWA Women's Championship. Candy Devine, you know her better as Candace Rummel. She started wrestling. She was actually
I never really knew her as Candace Rummel.
Well, no. Candace Rummel was her real name. I'm sorry. She was a. She worked for the Poffos in ICW.
I was reading. She ran a Lanny Poffo fan club. I'm sure that was pretty lonely.
She was a ring girl. Well, no. Lanny Poffo was over in his Devil's Dad's promotion. He should have been over. But she was a 4-time women's champion. And she defends against Sherry Martel, who's now the heel woman of the company. Now, the thing is with the women's championship. Now, you know, at this point, women's wrestling, again, still a novelty, not anything substantial. Is that the word I want to use?
There is a kind of a demand for women's wrestling in professional wrestling. It's been going on. I don't have a precise date when, there was women's wrestling for professional wrestling, but it's stuff that's been going on since like the 50s. So it was always, a part of the product, but it never really developed into, how can I word it? Like it never evolved much from an attraction. And, regardless of who won these belts, at this time, you can't really say that they were like a highlight of a show.
Right. And for our newer listeners,
unless they were the Jumping Bomb Angels.
Yeah, this is true. They were the best that time. Yeah. But I'm not going to sell these two ladies short, mainly because, and my disdain for women's wrestling, they could actually wrestle.
Yeah.
Sherry Martel was on top of her game. Candy Devine was already established. But I must tell you, and this is, again, reminds me of a Japan finish. You have a fantastic match, and then the shitty ending just ruins it for me. Sherry hits arguably the most hideous top rope splash.
I don't know if it was a splash or a leg drop or what the fuck it was.
It was some kind of just awful drop from the rope, and it was sad. Maybe someone got hurt. Maybe she was like botchamania.
I think she was just thinking too much, and she put too much effort into her Ming the Merciless cape that she came down to the ring to, as opposed to the finish.
I'm so glad you said Ming the Merciless. Shout out to our boy Lou Rodriguez, who does the Star Wars podcast with me. Lou and I were talking about on the first the episode of the Star Wars podcast, we made a Flash Gordon reference, and you said Ming the Merciless. So that's again one of my brings a
pathetic earthlings.
Dude, that was such a great movie for its time, and the soundtrack is incredible. All right. So Sherry wins the title, and Sherry goes on to be a main player in women's wrestling for a while. Candy, unfortunately, got injured a few times, and she bowed out, but she held her own.
Women's wrestling is not like the easiest place, especially during this time to succeed. I remember, I was always kind of interested in, what the hell ever happened to the late 80s WWF, women's tag team championship and the women's world championship, because it was like pretty hot, especially when the Jumping Bomb Angels came around.
You had the Glamour Girls, you had Velvet McIntyre and Judy Martin was with the other chick, Glamour Girls, but you had Velvet McIntyre, you had I can't recall the other girl, like
Donna Christianello.
That's it, you're right. Yes, thank you. Who wrestled in Japan too, didn't she?
Yeah,
okay.
All of them wrestled in Japan, but one of things that people don't really realize is that, you know, Sherry versus Rock and Robin, I believe those two specifically, they weren't just married, you know, to each other in a feud for a year. I think it went over a year. I want to say that it went for like 2 years. So imagine fighting the same person every night for like 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or close to 2 years.
Yeah.
That's a long fucking time to do anything with the same person, beating the shit out of them for that long, you know?
Yeah, and Vern, to his credit, Vern tried to keep it alive, bringing Medusa in, and, you know, her and Sherry got mixed it up really well. So, I mean, again, it was still a novelty at that point, but still, yeah. It was a horrible fucking splash. After the match, promo was cut with Harley Race teaming up with the Long Riders. And this was kind of weird. I know Wild Bill for a while, and they had Scott Irwin. They were the Long Riders. Actually, those are the first AWA figures I got after the Baron Von Raschke set that came with Rick Martel when I got those AWA, the Remco figures. Long Riders look cool. They like that. They had the denim and the leather, the hats and the vests and shit. They're like, you know, just a bunch of rednecks, you know. Scott Irwin passed away from a brain, I think it was an aneurysm or a tumor or something. A bunch of years back, but I feel like this team was put together because Vern wanted to fit everybody on the card. Because I can't see fucking Harley Race teaming up with the Lone Riders. You know, does that make sense?
No.
Well, it made sense the opponents because Harley Race had a history in Japan at that point. He traveled there quite a few times. And they were taking on the Asian six-man champions of Saruta, Baba, and Tenryu. The match was, I don't know, it went 11 minutes almost, right?
Yeah. It was just to beat the shit out of each other match of the night.
It wasn't anything spectacular you would expect from the strong style guys, but... And Harley Race, because I mean the Irwins were brawlers at that point. They were like they were like the 80s version of the Bruise Brothers, you know. The match ends with, now we all know how big Baba is, and he could barely stand up. He's like the a skinnier version of Andre.
Yeah,
Baba throws a terrible boot to Wild Bill. I mean, Bill eats it and sells it well, but that he barely got his leg up on that, you know. And then.
I think he was using the rope to actually balance himself.
Yes, that's exactly what he did. I think the best part of this whole match was the post-match. The post-antics. The Irwins physically and mentally abused Larry Nelson. Like they were roughing him up and shit-talking him and pushing him and shoving him. I thought that was pretty funny.
If he wasn't having a bad time already.
Well, yeah, and he's on that coke high, so I mean, he doesn't care. He gets roughed up a little bit. He probably likes that kind of shit anyway.
Yeah.
So, the fourth match of the evening, Dave. The fourth match, another title match, the AWA World Midgets Championship. Now, I didn't even know this.
NWA.
Well, yeah, it was the NWA. Yeah, I'm sorry. The NWA, my mistake. The NWA World Midget Championship. Was the National Wrestling Alliance's Midget Wrestling Singles Championship. Now, I did not know this fucking title even existed. I think this is the only televised title match I've seen for midgets. Unless I've seen something else and I missed it, I've never seen a midget title match. Have you?
I want to say yes, but I don't recall ever seeing an NWA World's Midget Championship.
All right. Well,
I know our buddy Baza brought up how that there actually was a British World Heavyweight Champion, and it happened to be an NWA World Midget Champion.
I didn't know. Bless you. I didn't know.
Lord Littlebrook or something.
Well, that's the thing. Lord Littlebrook, Sky Lolo, Little Tokyo, those guys were all... like the legends at that point. Even by the time they got to the E, they were like legends.
Yeah, these guys were like old as shit.
Right.
Fighting the same people over and over and over.
The history of the belt is obviously undocumented because there's a lack of midget wrestling for large periods of time from like the 50s to the 80s.
Yeah.
There were two touring groups of midget wrestlers in the United States, right? And both of them had a world champion. I didn't know that either. leading to a lot of uncertainty to who was the NWA World Midget Champion, based on whoever champion was booked or defending in what territory. The first wrestler to lay claim to the title was Skylo Low, after he won a 30-man tournament in Paris. The belt went from 1949 to 2009. So your champion at this point is Little Tokyo, another WWF guy. He, after this, fought Midget Mr. T. It's not the same. It's not the Haiti Kid Mr. T. This is like another guy who looked like Mr. T with a mohawk.
It's Midget Mr. T.
Midget Mr. T. Okay. Beat him at 6:54. I have nothing else to say about the match.
It was pretty good as far as I thought for a midget match. Like, well, I will say this. They didn't do like the standard bullshit like that. How can I word it? You know, when they have like their little legs, you know, wrapped around like the guy's shoulder, and they're like, you know, twisting and turning them around the ring in a circle, and then finally, you know, gets him so dizzy that he pins him. Like that was like the midget ending since like the dawn of time. But they didn't do that. You know, it was with the illegal karate thrust to the throat that, you know, put little Mr. T in his place. But I'll say this, you know, to critique, you know, this midget match, they didn't do the typical, you know, midget antics. I think there was like one point where I kicked them in the nuts or something like that. And but they at least, you know, put their best foot forward. And I did like how I probably have to say, you know, Larry Nelson probably was on coke this night. There was one quote. It sounded like something that should have been in a zombie movie. He said, I think it was like Little Tokyo had Little Mr. T in a headlock. And he's like, well, if you can kill the head, the body will die. And then I was like, well, what? That's just like such a random thing to say during a match like that. And then he's like, he's squeezing his brains out. And I'm like, wow, Larry Nelson is on another level right now.
So Larry Nelson's coke binge continues throughout the night, as now he gets to interview Mil Máscaras. Mil at this point, you know, needs no introduction, needs no...
He doesn't need shit.
He's Mil Máscaras, you know?
He doesn't sell for anybody. He doesn't care if there's no... The organization that his championship isn't even an active company.
And you know what? I actually enjoyed this match. Mil Máscaras... Mil Máscaras.
This is better than I thought.
Yeah, he defended his Mil Máscaras championship.
The IWA. The
IWA championship against Freebird Buddy Roberts. Buddy Jack Roberts was a really, really good wrestler. Unfortunately, a lot of matches that we watch that he's in, we never get to see that because A, he hardly wrestles.
Yeah.
A. B, when he does wrestle, he gets his ass kicked.
Yeah.
By the face team. They like their manager or like, you know, Fritz Von Erich always beats him up. You know, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
But Buddy Roberts can legit go, and this was all sorts of proof. Now, Mil Máscaras slowing down at this point. He's been in the game for a minute.
Mil Máscaras was popular. I think he started off in the 60s,
right.
And, you know, he made his bread and butter there. He actually, you know, funny enough, he's, you know, nowadays he would be considered kind of like a Miz or something like that. You know, I think he was actually pulled from like a talent contest or something to be, you know, like the next, you know, masked wrestler, you know, film star like El Santo. And, I believe he actually may have gotten his start from film. His family, of course, you know, like all luchadors, you know, was raised on wrestling. He's related to Dos Caras. Also, Alberto Del Rio is a part of that family.
Yeah, that's Dos Caras is his uncle or his dad?
Yeah, I think it's his uncle.
Yeah.
Okay. Psychedelico is related. I think is actually the brother of Mil Mascaras. So, you know, when you're in wrestling, like specifically Lucha Libre, it's like the whole family's a part of it. But I remember the whole Mil Mascaras thing was started specifically through film. So if I don't recall if he was wrestling before that or what, but I know the whole character was more or less created for a film, yeah. Which was actually called Mil Mascaras.
Right. Same way our other favorite masked luchador got all he did a lot of film too.
Yes.
And we did a whole episode on that too, so that was pretty fun.
El Santo, old Saints Day episode, yep. From 2 years ago.
That's right. All right, so I enjoyed the match. Buddy always sells. Mil doesn't sell anything, like you mentioned.
He's just sucking in his gut the entire match.
Yep.
And doing what he can.
He beats Buddy Jack with a flying body press at 657. But again, good wrestling. It was decent. It was not terrible, you know?
You know, I want to throw this out there because I didn't even know it aired until recently. WWE Network actually had a Cinco de Mayo 2-hour special on Lucha Libre.
Did they?
Yeah. It's in the, I think it may be like in the, like Network Originals or something like that.
Okay, I'll check that out.
And they actually had a really good Mil Mascaras versus Sergeant Slaughter match from the Cap Center.
Ah.
There's a lot of matches on that whole special that like you've seen everywhere else a million times, but that was like the match that stood out for me, Mil Mascaras versus Sergeant Slaughter in the Cap Center, and I think about like 85. I'm pretty sure it was 85. Match happened, or 84 or something like that.
Nice. I gotta
check that out.
Yeah, definitely check that out.
Yeah.
I saw something with that, but I was watching I watched the Goldberg thing instead the other day. I was watching that, and I watched what the hell else? I like just once in a while I get on a network. Watch random shit. That's why it's awesome.
No, I've been slowly but surely just I finished watching every single TNT, and you know, now I'm working my way through. I was going back and forth between primetime and TNT. Now I finished all the TNTs that are up right now. Now I'm just going through the prime times, and they release like another 20 episodes. So I'm like, oh shit, I don't have to, but you know, when I can, I'll watch that. That's usually my late night fall asleep while it's on.
Yeah, that's what I'll do tonight probably after I upload the show.
Yeah, I wake up the next day and try to go back to what I remember watching.
Right, exactly. All right, so now at this point. Kerry Von Erich comes out to get interviewed. I just want to point out too, Kerry Von Erich was so over.
Oh, yeah,
like he was.
Wasn't even his company. Well, no, WCCW was a part of it, but obviously everything was happening in AWA ring.
Right, but these girls in the crowd were like crying and handing them flowers.
I don't know what was it, the Yellow Roses?
Yeah, Yellow Roses, Texas. But that was like a Von Erich thing. But I like, dude, this is like this ain't the Sportatorium, dude. This is south side of Chicago.
Yeah,
these are hardcore people out there, man. Like, and I didn't. These girls are like crying. Like,
they knew exactly
girls.
Who he was.
Yeah,
he was probably one of the more over people in the entire event.
Yeah, Kerry Von Erich, you know, was as charismatic as he could be. He tried.
Yeah,
Kerry had $1 million body, $3 mind, but I mean. Still,
hey, back then,
that's all you needed, you know.
Exactly.
Kerry was a huge draw, absolutely. Ted Turner, thank you.
You know, one thing that I found interesting about this match, and didn't even involve anything that happened during the match. This was actually during the time that I believe Mike Von Erich was in the hospital.
He died. I thought he died in 84, right? No, he died in 85.
I want to say, I'm not the biggest Mike Von Erich fan, so I don't.
Yeah, we got to do a
call offhand like.
We got to do a Von Erich episode.
But there was, I remember there was a point in his career. Well, you know, first of all, pretty much the entire Von Erich, you know, boys, were all kind of like forced into the profession by their father, and
yeah, Kerry was a respected collegiate guy. He was like a discus champion. He was like a world discus champion. I know that.
Yeah.
Everybody, all the Von Erich kids had like an athletic background. They excelled in like football and baseball and discus and all this other shit. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right.
What was I going to say? But you know, regardless of what these guys' backgrounds were, you know, it just seemed like they, regardless if they wanted to do wrestling or not, it seemed like they were just like working their asses off just so they could live up to their father's expectations,
yeah,
which were high because Fritz Von Erich was a respected, you know, personality in the professional wrestling world.
Absolutely.
And I'm pulling it up right now, so I'll admit I'm looking at Wikipedia right now, because I don't remember the details. I just vaguely remember he was hospitalized, and then I remember kind of like out of nowhere, the guy was like almost like a vegetable.
Yeah.
And they tried bringing him back.
Right.
Or something to that. But I'm reading he had a shoulder surgery in 85, you know, during a wrestling tour. He was released. He was in okay condition, and then like immediately had like 107 degree fever and was diagnosed with toxic shock syndrome. So, you know, another, you know, member of the Von Erich family, you know, suffering the Von Erich curse, as they call it. But yeah, I remember that was just kind of strange because, without being there or watching AWA television, you know, just from the documentaries and just what I've read in general, I remember they just kept, you know, bringing the dude on television, whether he was wrestling or trying to, I believe he was trying to come back. And it just kind of showed, you know, what kind of warped kind of dedication the family had to trying to live up to some sort of expectation, you know, whether it was, you know, deserved or not, you know.
Yeah.
So this match was dedicated to him, Mike Von Erich, while he was in the hospital.
So, again, and the chat room is a buzz. Apparently, I want to get off subject for a minute. Apparently, we didn't do the 92 Rumble. I thought we did. Would Flair won the Rumble?
I remember us doing it.
And that's my favorite one. So we'll definitely do that probably early next year. I like to do the Rumble around in wintertime anyway. So I'm sorry about that. Yeah, but again, that's my favorite Rumble.
Yeah.
And talking about it in the room there, Mr. X reminded me. He's like, I tried to find it. I thought you did it. I thought I did it too. But
that one we didn't do. We didn't do the first. Well, the first one that was on pay-per-view, the 88.
Yeah, the first one wasn't televised.
88. We didn't even do the first one, which was from.
All right. Well, Kerry still had his foot.
The first one on pay-per-view was 89. The first one that was on television was 88. We didn't do either of those, so we'll have to do that. You know, I mentioned to somebody, we haven't even touched the Mega Powers feud. I think we might have to next year maybe dedicate a month to the Mega Powers feud.
Yeah. We're approaching SummerSlam season two.
Yeah.
All right, so Kerry Von Erich still had his foot, and he was defending the Texas Heavyweight WCCW Texas Heavyweight Championship against Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin. I love Jimmy Garvin and Precious. I'm sorry. I'm a Jimmy Garvin mark.
Yeah, especially I specifically loved him in that that video that he did. I guess he lost like a match to David Von Erich and
he had to work on the
on the Von Erich farm.
Yeah, he had to clean the horses and shit. I love that. That was great. I love that episode.
Had to slop the pigs.
That's on the network.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's on the network. That's awesome.
That was a great, you know, promo. And that's like the payoff that heels, you know, need to get. And
I enjoy
not that. All that. There's no payoffs like that these days.
Right. All right.
It's a sad state of affairs.
And I like Precious. She was all about it. As the Rangers go into overtime, this is ridiculous. All right. So they again, I love Jimmy Garvin, love Precious. This match, again, great build, terrible ending. Which bothers me because both guys can legit wrestle. Garvin,
everything that they were doing was over, too.
Everything. So. Like, they both guys sold it. Obviously, Jimmy Garvin, the better wrestler than Kerry Von Erich.
Yeah.
More seasoned as well. Kerry Von Erich beats Jimmy Garvin at 6 minutes and 54 seconds. He knocks him off the top rope as Jimmy Garvin was trying to.
He got crotched. He punched him, and then he got crotched on the exposed metal turnbuckle.
Right. So,
and I'm not talking about the nub at the end, but like the actual turnbuckle that holds, you know, the ropes.
Right.
He got crotched on that and fell back in the ring, and Kerry pinned him for the three.
Right. So Precious comes in with her can of hairspray because that was her gimmick.
Yeah.
And tries to distract Kerry. And Garvin gets in on him and attacks him, attacks Kerry Von Erich, and then Kerry Von Erich responds with the claw.
Yeah.
The Von Erich claw, and the place goes crazy. Again, the girls, like, crying, teenage girls with the braces, they cry in the crowd.
Yeah.
All the girls are like, oh, my God, no, not the kid, no, please, and that was it.
Yeah.
Girls
crying.
Well, I didn't
think the ending, my two cents, I didn't think the ending was too bad. It was a unique one. May not have been this epic match that we all wanted, but it just seemed like, you know, I'll say this, you know, they were doing their darndest to outdo WrestleMania 1. And one of the things I think about this event was I feel it's like severely overbooked.
Well, this was Vern's answer to Vince. This was like my WrestleMania, and I think...
Well, I can't have any celebrities, so I'm just going to book the shit out of this
car. And he did that to every other one, too, and it was shit. This one's the best one.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wrestle Rock 86, I think, was like... they had a lot of great like blow-off matches on there, but Wrestle Rock 86, hopefully we could do that down the road.
We'll do it.
It was so fucking long. It was so long, and a lot of the matches weren't all that good, and I think that was also in a baseball stadium, too.
I enjoy the nostalgia of all these, and you know, looking back now as an adult, like back in, when I was a kid, I was like, this is terrible. I remember seeing a videotape of this with that friend's house.
Yeah.
I'm like, some of this was fucking terrible, but like, as a kid, as a teenager, like an 11-year-old watching this, I'm like, this is terrible, but... Looking back again as an adult now, I'm like, you know what? You had to applaud Vern for pulling us off. 13 matches altogether, and top talent from every territory at this point.
Yeah.
That wasn't a
except for WWF,
except for of course,
and Portland Wrestling.
Right. So now the next promo now with Larry, with coked up Larry Nelson, was Bach Winkel. Ray Stevens, the Crippler, and Larry Zbyszko, who are now going to be taking on Greg Gagne, a young Scott Hall, and a very young Kurt Hennig. Bockwinkel, Stevens, Zbyszko, great heel team. Great promo guys. All three of them were great promo guys.
Yeah.
I'll even throw Greg Gagne a bone. He cut a good promo. The other guys were still green.
Yeah, Greg Gagne looked like a... like a train wreck.
Yeah.
With his camo fatigues, his belly shirt, which was definitely showing off his gut because the guy had no physique whatsoever.
Right. Right.
He was ready for war.
And Scott Hall with his his lone wolf vest he had.
Rhinestone cowboy.
Every time I see him, I sing that song. Every single time. Rhinestone Cowboy. So now this is the six-man tag team match. Scott Hall, Kurt Hennig, and Greg.
Wait, I hate to interrupt you. What the hell is that one song? It's like, some people call me something.
Some people, the Space Cowboy?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Oh,
like the next line is like, some people call me Maurice.
Yeah, it's Steve, Steve Miller Band. They're actually playing Citi Field this year.
Steve Miller Band did that song?
Dude, hell yeah. You like Steve Miller Band?
No, not necessarily.
Yeah, I'm going to that concert actually this summer. Dude, there's a great you're a punk rock guy. A great cover of that song by a band called Black Train Jack. They were called Token Entry back in the day, one of the original New York hardcore bands.
Uh-huh.
They do a cover of The Joker. You would definitely love it. If I didn't have a song picked out for tonight, I'd probably play that. But
what's the name of the band again?
Token Entry. I'm sorry. It's called Black Train Jack. Black Train Jack, the Joker.
Okay.
Yeah, you got
it. I'm going to...
You know what? You know what? We have... We're actually... We're actually... We're actually... like ahead of schedule tonight.
Yeah.
No, no, no. I don't. Every time I hit that button, I don't want to hear you, Lord Alpha Haven. Shut up. Give me 1 second. I'm gonna bring up the song because you would definitely dig this. Let me just mute that so I don't fucking get the fucking commercial. Yeah, but every time I see Scott Hall, like I was like, either I sing these songs.
You just want to call him Maurice.
Pretty much. Not bad, right?
I love that part.
When he whistles?
Yeah.
Not bad, right?
It's pretty good.
Yeah, Black Train Jack, formerly known as Token Entry.
I'll have to give them and Steve Miller Band another shot.
Steve Miller Band's fucking phenomenal. Sorry, I love Steve Miller Band. Play my music in the sun. Shout out to New York Hardcore, baby. Covering all your fucking bases tonight, kids.
Yeah.
Probably ought to fucking...
Actually, I was curious to hear how the H2O show goes. You know, I have on my phone, I don't keep too much music on my phone, but I have H2O's Out of Debt.
Yeah.
On my phone because I am working hard to become out of debt completely.
Dave, it was like life changing.
I can only imagine.
I came full. I mean, I'm still feeling it because there's no fucking seats in these places. It's a dive bar. You know, you stand,
oh yeah, St. Vitus. I've never been there, but I know it's a tiny place.
It's a nice place. Don't get me wrong. But the size,
but dive.
Yeah, it's a dive bar. But like they have a great selection of spirits. They have heavy metal karaoke on the weekends, apparently. So yeah, great place. H2O came correct. They did all their hits. They did. They're coming out with a new album in September. I'm very excited. So it was the first night was like full circle for me. I've been following them since day one. So. And,
yeah, I remember when I saw the Roots video on, I think, like 120 minutes or so. I'm like, I got to get this album.
Those guys are fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Like, they just, it's the crossover with punk and hardcore, and it was, they're true. They didn't forget nothing. They always stuck by everybody, and they always kept it real, man. It was great stuff. So, new album comes out September, and I'm excited. All right.
Back to Super Clash.
Back to Super Clash. So
not Joe Strummer's Clash, Super Clash.
Right. The face team wins. Scott Hall power slams the Crippler for the win.
You know, I think I want to do some more research on the dude because, not everybody's always going to be completely on my radar. But I've always hear guys, swearing on their mother's grave that Ray Stevens was like the greatest heel that ever existed.
You know what? I think I don't think he's overrated. I think for his time, he was good. He was way past his time at this point.
Oh yeah, especially at this point, it was 85. You know, a lot of these guys' heydays were the 70s.
Right, but again, they was super over.
Yeah,
super over. There's a lot of guys in this card.
And what was it? I just loved, I love Nick Bockwinkle, especially during the
promo
that they're doing before the match. Like Ray Stevens is, going over we're going to do this to him, and I love how Nick Bockwinkle is just a master wordsmith, and He can either give you like a super intelligent answer, or he can give you like the best two-word reply. And I think his reply for this one was just ditto.
You know what? And I always wondered, like, why he didn't even him and Heenan were great, right? But he didn't even need Bobby Heenan. That's how great he, you know, he was. I love Nick Bockwinkel, by the way.
Yeah,
love him to death. All right. So now
I want to throw in one more thing. I thought, actually, two more things. One, I thought this was this particular six-man tag match was a perfect example of like what a tag team match should be all about. You know, cutting the ring, a lot of the blind tags behind the referee's back,
putting the younger guys over. Yeah,
yeah, putting the younger guys over, and I don't know. For me, like of all the matches, this was probably. I don't want to necessarily say it's my favorite match of the night, but it's pretty darn close.
No, the next match is my favorite.
Yeah. But I want to add one more thing and, you know, more evidence that Larry Nelson was coked up out of his mind.
Yep.
Was when he was interviewing, you know, Hall and Henning and Gagne at the end of the night. You know, either the guy was getting paid pretty damn well for that night or just sucking dick. Or
yeah, he put those guys
for
over
coke.
Like,
I don't know if he did a line off of Vern's, you know, dick or what, but. He just had to throw out the line there of, Greg, you really gave it to him.
Yeah. Greg, you really gave it to him. And cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yeah.
I do a good Larry Nelson. All right. So, they, like Dave said, the
poked up Larry Nelson has to be a character on the show.
Yeah, you know what? I'll work on that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's getting the, we're naming the episode after him, so he'll get that too tonight. All right.
Of course.
So now he gets, he gets the promo from the face team, and then the Freebirds come out with fucking Stars and Bars face paint. I loved it. I loved it.
It's one of the classic, you know, Freebirds looks.
Right. And they came out, cut this badass promo, hating on Chicago, hating on everybody. It's fantastic. Gearing up for the AWA World Tag Team Championship match, the Road Warriors, the Mighty Road Warriors, my favorite tag team in the whole wide world, Hawk and Animal. Defending the titles against the Fabulous Freebirds, Michael P.S. Hayes, Terry Bam Bam Gordy. This, my friends, was a pier, and I wrote this in big letters, Pier 6 brawl.
Oh, my God. It certainly was. I'm going to have to quote Larry Nelson again. And he said the line of, if you think this makes me nervous, you're right.
If you think this makes me nervous, you're right. I'm high on cocaine. I'm going to get a hand job from Kenny Devine. And Vern Gagne is an old fuck. Anyway, I'm Larry Nelson, and I'm on cocaine. All right, the Road Warriors win the match. They weren't supposed to win, apparently. The finish was switched by the two teams. Vern was fucking pissed. The Freebirds were supposed to go over this night, and it didn't happen. PS6 brawl. The match goes 14 and a half minutes. The Freebirds win by disqualification. There was some brass knuckles involved, all right? The spot of the night, though, was Animal pressing Terry Gordy. Like, dude, he got Gordy up.
It was nothing.
Yeah, and the crowd goes fucking bananas. Like, no way. I was like, dude, it was like.
I saw that. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was thinking, you know, what was it with the first Warrior Blu-ray, you know, that came out, you know, Warrior's being interviewed in his house, talking about his match with Hogan, and he's like, you know what, I couldn't get the guy up, even though I had him over my head, I couldn't get him all the way up, but I'm watching, you know, Hawk deal with Terry Bam Bam Gordy, and he has him all the way up.
He fucking press slammed him. Buddy Roberts, I mentioned, takes a beating from Hawk and Precious outside. Precious,
what else is new?
But he took a beating outside the ring. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Of course, now Vern Gagne has to come out now and interject because they changed the finish on him, so the story goes. And pulls an instant replay on the big screen and confirms the disqualification of the Birds.
Yeah, that felt like very kind of like, oh shit, you know, we did the wrong thing. We gotta make this make the fans happy, you know?
Yeah.
So it was like, that was like, I remember there, I don't know if it was, did they have this match on the Road Warriors DVD?
I believe so, yes.
Actually, wait a second. It's actually right next to me. Hold on. I'm going to pull it up and find out. Sorry for the dead air.
No dead air. I'll just, as Dave looks that up, I'll preview the ninth match of the night.
Because I think the DVD actually cut out the part where I think it does have the DVD actually does have the hold on a second.
Well, yeah, as you're looking at that, coked up Larry Nelson at this point, after Vern does the finish because he got bent over by the teams and he changed the finish on him. Because it was best for business at that time apparently. Yeah. The Russian family comes out and cuts a promo for their match, Ivan, Nikita, and Crusher Khrushchev.
Yeah.
They're defending. You want to talk about guys that are out of their prime, you know, past their prime. They were fighting the Crusher.
Oh, my gosh.
Midwest legends, the Crusher, Dick the Bruiser, and the Baron. So as Dave looks that up, I'll just...
Yeah, I actually wrote Pier 6 Brawl for this match on my notes.
Yeah, it was a Pier 6 Brawl. You know, nothing really significant. They, you know, the Russians win at 8:54, and then the brawl erupts. Nikita saves Uncle Ivan from the claw. The crowd starts chanting.
Oh, I want to throw this out there, especially since you're bringing up the claw. Besides Kerry Von Erich, one of the biggest pops of the night was the fucking claw.
Baron Von Raschke, yeah,
and you know, the dude's original gimmick was that of a Nazi.
Yeah.
And I have never seen a group of Americans pop for a goose step so loudly in my entire life. Because he just did one fucking, like, step. Literally the goose step. And the crowd erupted.
Yeah, and you know what? The crowd was chanting bullshit because, you know, Nikita makes the save. Nikita saves Uncle Ivan from the claw.
Yeah.
And the crowd starts chanting bullshit, which is pretty funny.
Yeah, because they wanted to see the claw.
And they cut to now Boris Zukov doing a promo on Sergeant Slaughter. This is the best part. The camera pans to a dude in the crowd holding a Kill the Commie sign.
Yes.
So
I'll say this, you know, I knew that the AWA America's title existed, but I didn't, you know, I don't really know what the history was behind that belt, because that's just like, I don't know.
What, the America's Championship?
Yeah, when I think of AWA, I just really think of the tag belts and the world title.
I have history. It lasted a year. It was held by three people.
So you're confirming what I was just about to say of this is the, let's give Sergeant Slaughter a belt.
Yeah.
Because he's from America. Let's have him face off with a foreigner title.
Right. So
really long, so they just call it the America's title instead.
Right. So, all right. So here's the deal. So now Sarge wins by DQ at 9:34 when the referee Larry Lazowski was knocked silly by the Sarge on accident, and Zukov had a loaded boot, bloodied Slaughter. They brawled after the bell. That was the best. They brawled after the bell, and they took it all over the place. And that was, you know, pretty cool. I enjoyed that. So now the next promo with coked up Larry Nelson is the Sheik Anand Casey from Texas. And holy shit, I just realized this. Oh man, this ain't good. I'm down to 7% on my second computer, and my fucking plug is downstairs.
Oh boy.
Oh Jesus. All right, let's do this real quick. Yeah. Sheik Anand Casey comes out with Kamala, cuts a promo on Jerry Blackwell. Now, the worst part is with some fan, as Jerry Blackwell's walking to the ring with Kamala. When Kamala's walking to the ring with Sheik Anand Casey, some fan was mimicking a monkey behind Kamala, like doing a monkey dance.
Oh my God.
So fucking racist. It was funny, but racist. So now the Crusher comes out, does his promo. Crusher Blackwell's a big guy, too, man. It was a $10,000 body slam match, taking a play from Andre and Big John Studd.
Yeah, I wonder where that came from.
Andre and Studd, right.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, Jerry Blackwell wins the $10,000. He slams Kamala. Several
this wasn't even that great of a match.
No, several jobbers tried saving Jerry, but Kamala tosses them, and the Baron comes out with a with a baseball bat for the fucking save, and everybody goes ape shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, just a quick story about Jerry Blackwell. You know, I was never a big fan of this guy, but heard he was extremely well respected, and
yeah.
I also heard part of that was because he was paranoid as shit and carried a gun with him at all times.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's pretty hot. Yeah. That's pretty hot.
Nobody messed with the dude, and then I think JR may have been talking about it or something like that. But
that's crazy.
The guy carried a gun with him at all times. Actually, I even heard a shoot interview with Kamala where he mentioned he had such a hatred for Andre the Giant that, like, during their series of matches, I don't recall if he specified where, but they were having, like, a series of matches, and he really hated the fact that Andre was taking liberties with him. So he actually carried a gun with him to the ring, which sounds like the stupidest thing of period. The guy, Kamala, dressed as he is, wrestling Andre the Giant with a gun in his tights.
That's crazy.
That because he was so sick and tired of Andre taking liberties with him, and I think Andre made, according to him, he was making, you know, probably like racist comments or some sort of cracks that was really getting on Kamala's nerves. And but that was so strange. I noticed the it was an ROH like straight shooting shoot interview that was done a while back. I wouldn't be surprised if that's on YouTube already. So check it out.
All right, let's wrap this up. The next match was probably the disappointment match tonight, because this could have, I mean, I thought this was just, you know, they didn't even cut promos for this because they were just rushing through the tape at this point. This was the AWA World Heavyweight Championship match. Champion at the time, Rick Martel, defending against Stan Lowry Hansen. Really nothing to talk about. Both guys wrestled to a double countout.
Yeah, it was a 2-minute match where they just brawled.
Yeah, and then they wound up in the dugout, which is pretty cool. I thought that the dugout of the baseball stadium, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought it was funny that people were getting slammed on the field and on the dugout, and that was like the big thing. Like whenever somebody got slammed, like on the dirt or on the grass or in the dugout, like everybody went crazy for that. That was a big deal.
Magnum TA comes out, cuts a promo on Ric Flair. Then Ric Flair does his part, and Larry Nelson's still on coke at this point, and
has not worn off
for your main event of the evening for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, the Nature Boy Ric Flair defending against Magnum TA. Match was solid. You know, we know the allure of Magnum. He would have been a great guy, a great champion, if he didn't get that accident.
And this match was pretty much more or less setting it up for that.
Right.
You know, I think that was going to be a Starrcade 86.
Right.
And 85 or 86, and Nikita Koloff ended up becoming Flair's opponent, if I remember correctly.
You are very right. That's exactly what happens. The match goes 19 minutes and 10 seconds. Typical Ric Flair gets juiced, does the flip outside the ring, attempts a couple of figure fours. Magnum kicks out. Flair does his best work on the leg trick, and you know we all know what happens then. Flair wins with a roll up and pull the trunks. At this point, after he pulled the trunks, Larry Nelson on coke screams out, "Flair won the title," but he was already the champion.
Yes. So. I thought it was funny. There was a lot of good Larry Nelson moments during this match. Like he's like, Ric Flair probably monograms his socks too.
Yeah.
Like that fucking matters.
Right, because Larry's looking for coke money at this point, too.
Yeah, so. I know you're trying to put over Ric Flair as a wealthy individual, but monogramming his socks isn't really helping out the deal.
Right. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was Super Clash 85. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I liked how, you know, the Flair-Magnum TA match... went for a good distance. It was pretty decent, and it was just setting up.
Yeah, they had a cover for that 2-minute debacle from Martel and fucking Hansen.
Yeah,
they could have had a 10-minute match.
You know, Larry Nelson's like, "You had him," and then he won the match. And Magnum TA swears, Flair, this is not the last time.
Nope. So, you know, we all know what happens after this. The AWA continues to struggle. And
they put a turkey on a pole.
Yeah, get me started with that. But again, much respect to the AWA, much respect to Vern Gagne. And this was very fun to watch, even though it took me 3 days to watch it. So that's going to be our throwback this evening. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. This was one of my favorites to watch. I just loved it, you know?
Yeah. This is, you know, not like we don't really give too much AWA love, but, you know, some of those events are kind of hard to watch.
No, they are.
But this one was a delight. Especially and we didn't have to listen to Vern Gagne try to rap.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ. Thank God.
I'm Vern Gagne, and I'm here to say.
All right.
That I run the AWA.
Anything else before we start wrapping this bad boy up?
No.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com. All our episodes are up there. We have T-shirts. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. Four different designs. Kathy Hummer just bought a shirt. Shout out to her. What else is going on? ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. RantDMRadio.com. Go to iTunes. Leave a review. We are on Twitter, Dave, right? What's the Twitter handle?
T-Buckle T-Backs.
That's right. T-Buckle T-Backs is our handle there. You want to snail mail us, turnbuckle throwbacks1@gmail.com. And we're back
now,
next...
That's considered snail mail, huh?
Oh, I guess. Yeah. Because, I mean, nobody sends us anything, you know? But nobody writes letters anymore, you know?
Well, you never know.
Anyway, but, I mean, that's pretty much it.
So they can email us to have our address to write a snail mail.
Yeah, but, yeah, go to the website, all that good shit, hook us up. Leave us a review on iTunes, though. That's really important if you feel inclined, if you will.
And, so inclined.
So on behalf of the Mega Powers, I'm Phil Ray, bidding you adieu. Please, you know, don't get arrested. Avoid the clap. Help yourselves. Help each other. Don't, you know. Hug your mom and do something nice for somebody tomorrow.
And do a flip, asshole.
Yeah. Exactly. Matt Squires, thanks for calling in tonight. Thanks for everybody in the chat room. And we'll be back next week. Same bad time, same bad channel, kids. Good night.
Peace.
Singing about standing in the shadows of love. I guess it feels awfully alone. She says, I know exactly. Sad feeling when you're living on those in-betweens, but it's so-